Welcome, I'm Sophia Fisher, and you're listening to Women Got Game. And today, we're joined by Shelley Whitaker, the athletic director at Owens Community College. And under her leadership, Owens Athletics has seen some exciting growth, both on and off the field. And Shelley, thank you for joining us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the invite.
So before we get started, I do have to mention this. And I, you know, often when I'm talking to, especially like student athletes or coaches in particular, you know, they talk about, you know, their winning season and whatnot. But I thought it was really cool when I looked at your bio, not only in 2022, but also in 2024, you know, almost back to back there, dual, you were voted Athletic Director of the Year of the Ohio Community College Athletic Conference.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
That's pretty cool.
it was a direct reflection of our coaches and their dedication to the sport and the success of the sport. You know, we did have a couple of national championships in there that didn't hurt, but it was all about continuously moving that pendulum forward within the department. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, very cool, though. I thought that was neat. I'm like, you're winning awards, and so are your athletes. And so let's start off by, I guess, really just talking about this podcast that we like to inspire, you know, people that are listening, that especially young females that are thinking about athletics, and, you know, maybe coaching's not really where they want to go, but there's so many other neat opportunities for women in sport today, with the business of sport being what it is. And I think being an athletic director, you know, has a lot of cool potential there. So I guess really what sparked your interest, and how did you get to be an athletic director, and where you are today?
I did not take the direct route. I think I was the one who knew that I wanted to coach coming out of college. So I double majored, double minor in undergrad. And from there, I entered the coaching world. I took my first head job at the age of 23 and moved down to Georgia. So I was down in LaGrange, Georgia, a number of years as a head coach, moved across the United States. So you talk about opportunity for females out there, and getting out. Sport is a fantastic venue for that. I moved, lived in Georgia, Illinois, Southern California, New York City, Northern California, Portland, Oregon, and landed back here, 35 minutes from my hometown at Owens. So, you know, it's been a ride so far, but honestly, the opportunity to become an athletic director was not by choice so much. I had a wonderful mentor when I was working in Illinois. He and I were hired around the same time, and I was hired in as a head softball coach slash sports information director, which I had no experience in whatsoever, but it was a growth opportunity for me. And within a couple months, he said, no, we're going to move you into an assistant athletic director position. And my heels were in the sand and said, I came to coach softball. It wasn't about necessarily the administrative and growth aspect for me. It was to focus on the sport, give opportunity to females in the on the playing field. But throughout that process, he pulled me in, and I dove in headfirst and embraced it, and wore every hat known to anyone in athletics, from sports information director to assistant, compliance, all the things under. And he eventually moved away from the institution. I assumed the interim athletic director role, and it kind of just played out the way it did. And I became straight administration when I was up in Portland, Oregon. The institution I worked for closed its doors. COVID had hit in the United States. Athletics was shut down. I was on the outside of looking in, and somehow this opportunity arose, and I came back to, well, kind of where it all began. So it came full circle, but sport is a wonderful opportunity if you know what you want to do, or take a less direct route. But for me, I always say, keep, you know, I tell our current student athletes, do as much as you can do, as many majors or minors, and keep the doors of opportunity open. You never know who you'll meet along the way.
Can you kind of tell us a little bit more about your day-to-day? What is an athletic director really do? And also talk to us about, you know, there's a D1, D2. A lot of people don't know the difference. So Owens is in what league?
So we are NJCAA. We are D3, actually. So the difference in this was actually my first opportunity to work in the NJCAA. Prior to that, my entire 22 years experience was at the NCAA level, which we all know, D1, full scholarships in that thing. But then at the D2 level, I was at that in Portland, Oregon, and the majority of my career was NCAA D3, which is non-scholarship. So it's a different approach when you talk about the recruiting aspect and the type of student athlete. A lot of more focus on the academic side. We talk about student athletes. For Division III, it's about a lot of focus, and the majority of the focus on the student aspect, not so much the athlete. Not saying that we didn't win ball games, because I was not there to, you know, not be successful, but it's just maintaining, and I guess more so creating an opportunity for balance between athletics and academics. When you get into the D1 world, it's a little bit different, where the focus is on the playing field. If we look at today's landscape of athletics, there's a lot of, I mean, the majority of the focus is on the outcome, you know, and a lot that we do at the D3, D2 is about the process itself. So different types of athletes and different opportunities along the way. And a lot of it goes back to the majors, the educational piece that the student athletes want to pursue. A lot of more opportunity at the D3 level to enter into the healthcare fields, sign languages, a lot where there's demand for out-of-classroom responsibilities and accountability piece. And so just kind of fast forward to where I'm currently at. So we're in the NJCAA. Pretty much the same structure exists within it as it does the NCAA. We are non-scholarship. The only difference is in NCAA, D3s compete only against D3s. Within the NJCAA, our conference has D2s and D3s competing. So we're one of 2.5 schools within our conference that are non-scholarship. So day in and day out is a very competitive schedule of playing scholarship athletes.
So are you then responsible for how much of scheduling of all those games, and how many sports do you have at Owens? Is it male-dominated sports, or there's a lot of female, you know, sports again? How do you balance that, and then what do your responsibilities look like?
Yeah, the day-to-day is everything. It's direct oversight over our student-athletes in terms of, you know, tutoring, peer mentoring, ensuring we're tracking their eligibility, our coaches, hirings, making sure that they're meeting their growth potential along the way, any way that I can mentor them. We're in a unique opportunity where it's myself and then only two others that are full-time in our department. So working with a lot of part-time coaches and, you know, the challenges that creates in terms of communication. But I think it's the type of coach that you bring in and the type of cultures that we want to create for our student athletes, and we just have a wonderful staff right now. So outside of that, a lot of budget oversight, game management, student athlete safety. I also oversee our, we call it the SHAC, Student Health and Activity Center, so oversight over the weight room. We've done a lot in a short amount of time there. We have great administration currently at Owens, giving us the opportunity, because we are competing against scholarship institutions, how can we set ourselves apart? And so they've given us the opportunity. We have a brand new gym floor that just got completed this summer. Revamped our weight room a summer ago with brand new equipment in there. We're working on the outdoor facilities, upgrading those as well. We did add a full-time position to our staff, so a lot of support within our institution to be successful. You know, you can look at our championships, and we're pretty much day in and day out, or I should say annually, from year to year, either winning or coming in second place in overall wins within the conference itself. So just a lot of the day-to-day stuff is oversight.
Yeah, it's so interesting we talk about this, because you so much, anytime you listen to sports channels now, it's so dominated by name, image, and likeness.
Yes.
And NIL, so you know I was going to go there and ask you a little bit of that. But I'm really actually, even though I'm an NIL agent myself, I really often battle with the fact that this balance between academia, you know, getting your education, and then also, you know, this, you know, pay-to-play model, you know. And so I really love hearing what you're saying. You have a great president, by the way, to get the opportunity to meet her.
Oh, awesome.
She seems very progressive. And of course, you know, I like your director of marketing communications too, Tasha Hossein Black. She's awesome. And I think it's how you market yourself. I think really an entity competing with a lot of D1 schools in our area, you know, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that balance that, you know, can they do NIL? That's the first question. And then B, you know, how are you feeling in the world of sports today and navigating that and all the competition and recruitment around us?
Yeah, it's difficult. I will say the NIL has changed the landscape of college athletics, period. I mean, we look at the D1 level and they're out there making more money than their coaches, which creates a different dynamic within the program itself. And we are eligible, you know, for our student athletes to pursue any opportunities sent their way. I, you know, as much as I back the opportunity for student athletes to make money, I think it's putting a little bit of a pinch on small colleges around the country, not just in our area. There's student athletes coming out of high school right now that are making money on social media, more money, you know. And so I think it's taking a little bit of hit for these small colleges out there, especially within the female athletics. You asked earlier about the dynamics between male and female sports at Owens. We currently offer more female sports than we do male sports. When we brought back, they actually, our baseball, softball, golf programs, and both of our soccer programs were cut about 6 years ago. And one of the things that was on my agenda coming here My list of short list of to-dos was how can we provide more opportunity for student athletes? And so when we were talking about bringing back sports, I was insistent in that we bring back women's soccer before men's soccer, which we did. And, of course, they brought softball and baseball back at the same time, but just consistently finding that balance for the Title IX aspect of things and make sure that we are creating opportunity. But I do think that NIL, as much as I love the fact that we create opportunity for student athletes, I do think it is creating an interesting challenge, if you will, for the small schools. We can't compete. You know, we're sitting between Toledo and Bowling Green, which is not unlike a lot of small colleges. There's a lot of small colleges across the United States that are closing its doors or combining with other institutions because of enrollment. And I think even specifically within our conference, the female athletes are smaller in number than the male athletes. If you look directly, if you will, between like men's soccer and women's soccer, we may have a roster of 25 for our men's side, and our women's side might be 18. And different reasons for different things, but I think that's pretty consistent across the states.
Interesting. So your overarching vision probably is different then, I would say. And not that the pressure's not there, because obviously you still need to get, you know, your enrollment continually maintained. But I do love your model right now. It seems to be working. Would you agree?
I agree. I think, you know, our coaches are very focused on being successful and making sure our student athletes are successful. And that's defined both in the classroom and on the field. One of the things that, you know, we're proud of, we increased our GPA, you know, for every year that I've been there, we've increased the GPA. They had just transitioned from D2 to D3 the year prior to me getting here. So working through that with our coaches, changing the mindset of, hey, we're not recruiting scholarship, if you will, student athletes. We have to take a different approach. We have to maintain roster sizes, and we have to stay focused not only on the recruitment but the retention piece as well.
Don't you think you're still getting a high-level quality athlete? Because not everybody, I know student athletes, they want to continue to play as they move on, but they don't really want to commit to that D1 schedule. It can be very rigorous, traveling a lot, trying to balance all the things that you need to do to be a D1 athlete, but yet somehow you're getting really high-level athletes.
We are, and I think that's reflective. If you do look at the national championships we've gone to, anything in postseason, we're consistently doing it across the sports. And I give all the credit to our coaches who are out there as part-time coaches and just knowing the type of student athlete. And, you know, even though they're not getting the athletic scholarship, we are recruiting above and beyond in terms of talent.
So what are your plans for the future? Are you looking at adding any new sports, or what does the future look like for OCC sports?
We have added a number of sports, like I alluded to. We're kind of on pause right now. I'm just kind of taking in and seeing where the direction of not only our conference is going in terms of sports offering and adding a sports, but also the region. So our region consists of all the NJCAA colleges in Ohio as well as Michigan. Michigan outnumbers Ohio only in numbers of NJCAA schools. But they outnumber us quite a lot. You know, there's 9 of us down here and there's a ton up in Michigan. So it's predominantly, you know, driven by them. But I think, you know, looking forward, one of the sports we might be looking at would be bowling and then
All
both
right.
golf programs again.
All right. Excellent. So how does Owen support? Are you getting a lot of hometown athletes in our own backyard that are coming to Owens to continue to play? Or are you really fostering, like you said, you mentioned the region. Are you really, is that your recruitment area? Or do you kind of get, I guess, a little bit of, I guess, traveling?
Yeah, when we talk and mentoring our coaches, I think one of the things that we dial in on, and, you know, you alluded to the marketing piece as well, and we work hand in hand with them as far as, you know, the external lens and what people see us for, as far as, you know, our vision and, you know, logos and all the marketing tools that we have to be successful when we're out there recruiting. But our primary focus is the region. So Northwest Ohio, and then we work outward. So the majority of our student athletes do come from Northwest Ohio. I think we're a hotbed for all the sports that we have to offer. There's a ton of talent in the area, whether it's directly at a high school or, you know, transfers. A lot of times the one good thing sitting between, like, you know, Lourdes and Toledo and Bowling Green, student athletes who are unhappy with perhaps either the academic side or the playing time, we are a landing spot for them. So I think that is one of the opportunities that we have to offer. And then we do have a number of sports. The soccer's recruit internationally, so we're bringing in a good number, especially on the male side. And then baseball recruit a lot from either Indiana or Florida.
That's a pretty broad reach that I wouldn't have thought of.
It really is. I think, you know, our coaches have some connections down in Florida as far as on the baseball side. We do have one coach in particular who lived down there, so we just kind of lean on those numbers. And then this year we also are adding a developmental team for our baseball program as well. So our numbers are increasing in that sport.
So how would you like to build a stronger connection between, you know, if you have some fans that are listening, or maybe someone who has never gone to you know, Owens and watched an event or a game? What do you want them to know about Owens when you go to experience an event?
We have a ton of opportunity. And I think, you know, we're doing, Owens as an institution is doing a fantastic job about marketing itself. And that's only occurred over the last couple of years. When I first got here, you know, I may see no billboards if you're driving up or down 75, nothing on the radio, TV. And now all of a sudden, we're traveling, we're seeing things, we're being, you know, the external lens I spoke about is just broadening out. So our footprint is getting out there. I think one of the good things, too, that we're doing within our department is making sure, I mean, it doesn't hurt to hit the national stage for our sports, you know, and hang national championship banners. But we have also collaborated with the Toledo Mud Hens Stadium. So we host one of our baseball doubleheaders for the past, I believe, 3 years now at that stadium. So trying to really make that connection with alumni, with the local community, whether it's Boys and Girls Clubs, local clubs as far as baseball, and then our admissions office brings in recruits as well. So trying to hit in as many ways as we possibly can.
So it sounds to me, too, being an athletic director, you know, you're really external affairs in a lot of ways, too. You have to be seen in other partnerships and create other unique opportunities so that people see the face of Owens, correct?
100%. And I think that's the part that I can lean on 22 years on the coaching side. Is when you're coaching, it's all about recruiting, right? The product on the field is a direct reflection of the work that you put in on the recruiting piece. But I think that also carries over to the administrative side. We're continuously recruiting, whether it's coaches, student athletes, collaborations across campus with other departments to just create, you know, it's all about the connections we make within the community. And Toledo is a fantastic area to make those connections. We have a ton of wonderful resources.
So I just have to ask you, so if you weren't working in athletics today, what would you be doing?
The beach calls my name. It calls me my name
you
a lot.
And me both. That's a given right there.
Yeah,
right?
I just was watching some social media today about, you know, this person who he puts out the beach lounge chairs and the umbrellas every day. And it sounds pretty appealing to me, minus probably the money involved with that.
There you go. You never, hey, it could happen. Why not, you know? So there's beach volleyball.
There
we
is
can always
beach
stay
volleyball,
in sports
right?
That way. Surfing. Surfing's a sport. So, no, that sounds good to me. So, but also, what do you want people to know as far as, you know, you personally and your career? One highlight, maybe, or two highlights that made it all worthwhile and why, you know, being an athletic director is rewarding?
Well, I think first and foremost, one of the most rewarding, I should say the most rewarding thing, is watching our student athletes go across the stage and receiving their diplomas every year. Every year, regardless, I feel like every step along the way for me was always rebuilding a program. And I feel like the same thing existed within the athletic department here at Owens. They were without an athletic director for a year coming out of COVID. So it was really rebuilding that program and finding, or our department, and finding how can we get better, in what areas can we get better. And so I think that, you know, watching our student athletes go across the stage even now is the most rewarding thing possible, because it's all about immersing themselves back into where we're at, the immediate community, and giving and allowing them to give back. And that primarily is with the workforce or service industry, right? So that would be the number one. And then I think the second thing for me is a no-brainer. I got to go back to the coaching side. So there was a year when I was coaching at NCAA D2 up in Portland, Oregon. And I rebuilt that program. We just transitioned from an NAI to D2. And the first year out, we were just over 500. And I'm like, we can do better here. How can we do better? Hit the recruiting trail. So I went in, recruited 15 new student athletes, brought them in, integrated them into our program. They picked us to finish dead last in the conference. And I took that very personal. And I'm like, nope. And fast forward, we were a little slow to get out of the gate, but it's when you integrate, we had a lot of transfers come in, because that school sat kind of like this does between Portland and, you know, you got Oregon State, you got Boise State. So I hit the portal, you know, that was like year one or year two of the portal. So I called it, I just went fishing. I went in that portal and I went fishing, and I found all the student athletes who were transfers around the immediate area within the 3-state radius there, and brought them in, and they picked us to finish last, and we finished first.
So, you know, that underdog mentality.
I love it.
You flipped it.
It did.
You flipped
it.
That switch.
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, that's very incredible. It's a great story, cool story. So a little bit more about you, maybe, just to be personal. So what's your go-to pump-up song?
I will have to tell you, I'm a little bit in flux right now because I was leaning really hard the past few years on, I'm a yacht rock radio, put me on a boat in the water. So pretty much that's anything it. Yacht rock yes. related. But I would say over the past year and a half, I have moved into Sublime and Stick Figure. So okay. any that kind of reggae
super
type music.
Super cool, chill. Yeah. You're yes. chilling. You are yes. on that beach. I can
yes.
tell.
I'm like riding
it.
The waves.
Yes, yes. I think we all are. You know, life goes by way too fast. Yes. So got to enjoy it. So what's your favorite sports movie of all time? Do you have one?
Ooh, sports movie. I'm really not a movie person. You know, I spent too much time on the road on the recruiting side of things. So 22, you know, some years on the recruiting side. So not much into the movie side. But if we want to talk sport and my favorite, I'm leaning on the Buckeyes all day long on the football side.
Ooh.
They dictate my mood. They let, you know, I'm not happy again until the next weekend if we drop one. And I hope one day soon we can beat TTUN up there.
Oh, boy. So, yeah. So you're definitely, you boomeranged back home and. And you got to love your home state. So I like that, too. So I guess, and bouncing back then, you know, really to tie this up today, what advice would you give a young lady or woman who's looking at, maybe they haven't been in athletics their entire career? How do they break that mold? How do they get into it? Or B, if they're, you know, in school right now, how do you get that internship? How do you get your foot in the door? Sometimes it seems very difficult if there's not a lot of, you know, spots available, or, again, if you don't have an experience, sometimes it's very difficult to break in.
It is difficult, but I say keep your opportunities open. You know, when I would on the recruiting side, I used to do camps every single weekend. I would fly down to California or across the country to do camps. And I really honestly truly feel there's a place for everyone. So regardless of your skill level, there is a place for everyone. And it's all about as you're going through college, you know, year one, when you enter college, people always enter with, oh, I'm going to major in X, Y, or Z. By year two, they're out the door and they're completely opposite. But I think it's always about getting out there, making the connections and keeping doors open. You know, I think that's one of the routes that I took. I always thought, what do I want to do now at the age of 18 that I want to do when I'm old at 40, right? Old at 40 at the time. And so that's one of the opportunities I did was double major, double minor. It gave me the latitude to not only go to education and hit the coaching piece, but it allowed me to have the business side of things, which then translated over. So outside of athletics, I also opened up a side business 4 years ago. And so I run a business, but I'm also, you know, athletic director and remain, you know, in athletics. But I think it's all about just having confidence in creating connections along the way.
So where do you see yourself and the program actually at Owens headed in the next 5 years? Where would you like to be from a visionary standpoint?
You know, I talk about pursuing excellence, and, you know, our coaches and our department and our institution overall and our administration have been rock stars and backing all the initiatives that we've taken along the way the past 4 years. So I just continuously try to, you know, keep that upward trajectory. You know, specifically, it's getting difficult because I feel like we have tackled the major pieces of, you know, the weight rooms, the gym floor. We have, you know, great coaches along the way. But I think it's just, I always said this when it's coaching, to win championship is easy, if you will, but to maintain winning championships, that's the challenging piece. So for us, it's just maintaining that competitiveness and not only within the conference, but also the region and the nation.
So what's that final thought that you want to leave people with that are listening, not only just about Owens, but about, again, pursuing excellence? What does that mean to you on a daily basis?
Wake up every day and go out there and just have the confidence and don't be afraid to take risks. You know, I just talked to a local my hometown high school a couple months ago, and we were talking about being entrepreneurship and that type of thing. But it's all about taking risk and not being afraid to take that first step forward. You know, it's about, what's the softball adage? You can't steal second with your foot on first base, right? So I think it's always about that. And then also who you surround yourself with, right? If you're surrounding yourself people who are supportive and also have that growth mindset, I think that's everything that you need to be able to pursue the opportunities that you want to pursue.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Shelly Whitaker, it's been awesome to have you in the studio today. And Shelly, you got game. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. It's clear that Shelly's commitment to student success on the field, in the classroom, and beyond is making a real impact on Owens Athletics. We'll be cheering on Shelly and the Express as the next chapter unfolds. This is Women Got Game, where passion meets purpose in sports leadership. Special thanks to my guest, Shelly Whitaker, from Owens Community College, and to my executive producer, Chris Pfeiffer. I'm your host and producer, Sophia Fisher. Feel free to visit us at wgte.org/womengotgame.
WGTE. Voices around us.